You're listening to Equipping Pastors with Ken Whitten, a podcast powered by the North American Mission Board. Here you will find conversations to help you engage with other pastors, equip you for the everyday grind of ministry, and encourage you to live out your calling with confidence. To find out more about the podcast or resources for pastors, visit EquippingPastorsPodcast.com.
Welcome to the Equipping Pastors Podcast. Hey, and I'm your host, Ken Whitten. Pastor, whether you're thriving or whether you're just surviving and really struggling to hang on, can I just tell you, here at North American Mission Board, our desire is to provide helpful conversations for you that will do three things. Pastor, we want to help you engage, number one, with other pastors. We want to equip you for the everyday grind of ministry. And of course, our desire is to encourage you as well to live out your calling with confidence. Engaging, equipping, encouraging. Hey, that's who we are. And let me tell you why we say that. We say that, Pastor, because here's the grim statistics of what you and I deal with every day. 1,700 pastors every month are walking away from the ministry. 47% of those are thinking about walking away. And by the way, 51% of that 47 thinking about walking away, that's mainline denominations. And of course, that's who we are. Hey, so we've asked a couple people today that I want you to know, just selfishly, I'm going to tell you, they're two of my favorites. I want you to welcome with me James Brown and Tony Dungy. Let me tell you a little bit about James. He's the current host of the NFL Today on CBS, and he's the upcoming host of the Super Bowl for the record 12th time. Among numerous honors, JB has received 2023 National Association of Broadcasters Distinguished Service Award. He's received the Jackie Robinson Award for Excellence in Sports Journalism. He was the 2016 Pete Rozelle Award recipient for Excellence in Broadcasting by the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He received the Uncommon Award from Tony Dungy for his uncommon leadership through character and faith. And in 2020, he was inducted into the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame. J.B. Brown is a three-time Emmy Award winner as Best Studio Host. And he was named the best studio host of the decade by SportsIllustrated.com. James Brown is also an ordained minister, and that's one of my favorite parts about him. He's actively involved in speaking in churches and conferences all around the country. Well, one of his great friends, and they have been brothers in Christ and been on platforms, many platforms together, is none other than Tony Dungy. He's the number one New York Times best-selling author. You've picked up his books, Pastor. You've read it, Quiet Strength, Uncommon, The Mentor Leader, The Uncommon Marriage. He led the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl victory. You'll remember in 2007 on February the 4th, he was the first African-American head coach to do such a thing. Tony Dungy established another NFL first by becoming the first coach not only to win a Super Bowl, but to also lead his teams to playoffs for, watch this, 10 consecutive years. Tony Dungy joined the Colts in 2002 after serving as the most successful head coach in Tampa Bay Buccaneer history. And before becoming a head coach, he played three seasons in the NFL. Dungy was inducted into the Pro Hall of Fame in 2016. He retired from coaching in 2009. He now serves as a studio analyst for NBC's Football Night in America. He and his wife, Lauren, are the parents. I'm not making this up. You can't make this stuff up. They are the parents of 10 children. Listen, James Brown and Tony Dungy, just reading your guys' bio makes me tired. So let me start off with the first question for both of you. You guys have been friends for years. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Tell these pastors, when did this friendship start? And would you just quickly introduce your family to us? JB, go ahead and start if you want to.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, Tony's memory is going to be better than mine, Pastor Ken. So I'm prepared for him to say, JB, let me clarify what you just said. Pastor Ken, I believe it was when Tony was an assistant coach. I'm not sure if it was with Kansas City.
No, Pittsburgh
certainly
Steelers.
Certainly when he was with the – oh, was it with the Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
See, I was going to go fast forward to the Minnesota Vikings. So as I said to the pastors out there, he will clarify it. All I know is that I would go to sit with Tony, and because I knew who he was, I got to know him better. As a play-by-play in football, the Freudian slip there, because I played – basketball, which Tony did as well, but basketball was my strength. And in learning football, I wanted to know more about the people under the helmet who played the game. And Coach Dungy gave me that insight so that I could do my job in setting up whoever the ex-coach or player it was I was working with, Pastor Ken. Tony, clarify whatever I just said.
Yes, it was late 80s. I was a young assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers. JB was a play-by-play man. And on Saturdays, they would always come in and talk to the coaches to get information for the game the next day. Most of the play-by-play guys would just say, hey, what's number so-and-so? What is he going to do? Where can we look for him? How are you going to get him the ball? How is he going to be used? JB always asked, tell me about these guys off the field. Tell me about Rod Woodson. What is he doing? What is he like? Because he wanted to give people insight into these guys' character. And I said, something about this guy is different. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but something is different. Well, the more we talked, the more we got to know each other, what was different was those Christian values and the desire to put the Lord first.
I'm going to tell you, that's a beautiful friendship. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I know that Amen. You guys, it's just a joy to have you on this podcast today. Coach T, let me start with you for just a question. And then JB, you can kind of jump in as well, because both of you are leaders. And you're leaders of other leaders in what you do, not just quote-unquote on the field in your job, but off the field with your families and with the people at your own churches and your own leadership. Now, we're pastors, and so pastors, we understand that we can't set goals for objectives we can't control, and we understand that we have different leaders around that table. We have some high-capacity leaders. We have some people that are trying to be leaders, but there's kind of some leadership principles that you guys have operated, maybe not even knowing you're operating on, but it's part of the character of who you are. It's part of your biblical training. What I'd like to start with, probably for both of you, is can you tell me the most effective leader that you had in the sport that you were playing or in the profession that even that you're in now? But what made that leader effective? Because I want to build leaders to be leaders like you two gentlemen that are living it and living the gospel out in the presence of a public that's hostile in the world in which we live. And so there have been some people that have marked your life. Do you mind telling us, and it might be a coach, it might be a parent, it might be both, it might be a pastor, but could you just start there? What was the leadership principle you feel like they installed in both of you that you still carry through today in everything you do?
Well, I will go first, Pastor, and I'll go to Chuck Knoll. Wonderful man, four-time Super Bowl winner, 1977. I'm a rookie player with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've already won two Super Bowls, and I am there trying to learn from this man. What is it going to take for me to be a great football player in the National Football League? What is it going to take for us to win more Super Bowls? The very first message he ever gave us, the first thing he said to me and the rookie class, my group, gentlemen, welcome to the National Football League. You're getting paid to play football now, so that makes it your profession. But don't make football your life. If you make football your whole life, you're going to be disappointed. And I was blown away. Well, I watched him, and he led us. He led us to two more Super Bowls, and he showed us how to be great men and great players. But then 5 years later, I had the chance to join his staff. And I got some real insight into what made him, I think, the best coach ever in the National Football League. I had never coached before. He hired me as a young man. He's training me. And I said, Coach Noel, what is my job as a coach? What am I supposed to do? And he said, Tony, you have one job, that is to help your players be better. And when he said that, the light bulb went on for me. What made this man such a great leader? That was it. He only had one thought, and that was to help his group be the best that they could be. He didn't want to be the guy in charge. He didn't want to be the smartest guy in the room. He wasn't concerned about being the disciplinarian. He might have to do all those things, but that wasn't his focus. His focus was on helping his players be better. And that just took me back to what Jesus told his disciples. You know, hey, you want to be the greatest? serve.
That's good, Tony. JB, how about you? Who's the leader that impacted the most?
And I know that Tony feels the same as well. It started first with my mother and father, one and the same. I like to call my father, he was like Joseph in the Bible. He was the quiet one that you didn't hear much from or about, but he set the example working two and three jobs, high school graduates, both my mom and dad. But I love to say they had PhDs in drive and determination, wanting their five kids to do better in life than they did. My father set the example by working two jobs. First, he worked at the post office, drove a taxi. Then he was a prison guard and a taxi driver, but he was always there for the important things in life. My mom always wanted to be the excellent homemaker that she was in setting the tone and helping us understand, although we were from very exceedingly modest means, that excellence is an attitude and perspiration more than it was any other gifts. My high school coach carried those same principles forward. Morgan Wooten, the greatest high school basketball coach ever, who got into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as the first high school coach who was focused only on high school, the winningest high school coach ever. And the deal with him was this. We never, ever heard him use a profane word in encouraging us to better performance. I asked him why not. And he said, because the most powerful, much like John Wooden of UCLA fame, who was his mentor, he said, the most powerful four-letter word that you can use in inspiring people is love. And the four priorities that he had for all of those of us who played for him had to be this: God first, family second, school third, and then sports. I go back years later to do an interview with him for 60 Minute Sports, and I ask him, Coach, and I understood by this time, why was God so important to be number one in one of the athletes' lives playing for you? His answer was, if I knew that they embraced God as number one in their lives, I knew I had a true champion. Praise God.
Well, amen. Great answers, guys. Hey, so I'm a pastor, and I've got a culture, the church that I pastor. Maybe it's the culture that's not even where it needs to be biblically or where I want it to be spiritually at this point, but there's pastors today listening to this podcast, and they're leaders as well, and they've watched your leadership. They've watched you, especially Tony, and take a team that was at the, you know, at the bottom and take it all the way to the top several times, and yet it was not the culture that you wanted it to be. Are there any leadership secrets, Tony, in taking a culture that's it's not where you want to be, but to get it to be that you helped your coaches understand so they could help their players to understand so they could carry that out? Is there anything you can think of, an example, even with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How did you take them from, you know, from the – I think you used to say to me, Pastor Ken, when I first came to the Bucs, I couldn't even give away my own tickets. Of course, you know, the joke was if you got picked up for speeding, they gave you a Bucs ticket. And of course, if you got picked up twice, they made you go. And so you changed all of that. And I believe it was your character that did that. But part of that secret sauce that I'm familiar with, being your pastor for years, Tony, was that what people don't know about the Tony Dungy is all that came in the interview process for you. Can you walk us a little bit through some of those years?
I can, Pastor, and you talk about being sold out to a vision, and that's what I was. As JB said, a lot came from my parents, from Coach Noel, but when I started coaching, I had a vision of what I wanted to do, and that was build a team that was a team from the inside out. And I had a certain way to do it. I believed in biblical principles, so I started interviewing with owners and general managers and kind of explaining that. And that wasn't, standard procedure in the football world in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. So when I talk about, hey, we're going to win with character, we're going to win with togetherness, we're going to win with unity, we're going to win with love and respect, a lot of people didn't buy that. And I remember specifically the year before I got the Bucks job, I interviewed with another organization, and the owner asked me point blank. He said, "I've done a lot of research on you. You don't raise your voice. I hear you don't use profanity. We've got a lot of high testosterone people, type A. How are you going to ever get these guys to be on board?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to do it like my dad did. I'm going to show them that I care about them, that we're going to develop this personal relationship because we love and respect each other. They'll do what I ask them to do." And the guy looked at me and said, that won't work in the National Football League. And he didn't hire me.
Wow.
Well, a year later, I have an interview with Malcolm Glazer and the Buccaneers, and he kind of asked me the same question. And I started thinking, should I not tell him honestly? But I said, no, I've got to be myself. So I laid out the same thing, and he looked at me and he said, "That's exactly how I raise my boys. That's what I'm looking for." Wow. And he hired me, and I came to the Buccaneers, and that I had to give them my vision. Hey, yes, we want to win Super Bowls. We want to be great. We want to get people coming to the games again. But that can't be it. If that's all we think about, it's going to be very shallow. We've got to be a group that sets the tone for Tampa. We've got to make Tampa a better place to live. You guys have to be role models. I've got these young boys that look at you, and I don't want them to look at you just on the field. And if you're not on board with what we want to do as men, as people, it's not going to work. And not everybody bought into it early. But we got enough guys and we got enough of the leaders, and then the Derek Brookses and the John Lynches and the Mike Allstotts got that going, and that became our mantra. We had a sign in our locker room, just four words, or six words actually, four little segments: expectations, execution, no excuses, no explanations. And that was what we lived by. Think like a champion, act like a champion on and off the field. Work like a champion. That's the execution. No excuses, no explanation. Don't let anything stand in our way. And those six words were our lifeblood for 13 years.
Well, you know, JB, that would resonate with us as pastors, hearing your opening comments about interviewing Tony Dungy and talking to Tony and asking him about character, because that's who you are, and character is of great interest to you. Now, you anchor the desk, and one of the things that we watch and we see you, it looks like it's seamless. It looks like everybody there knows their roles, and do you guys, just a little inside information here, do you guys do a pregame? Do you guys talk about what you're going to talk about? You've got different personalities there. You got some people who like to talk more than others. You're the guy that has to keep this ship on this train on the track, and at the same time, we don't hear profanity. We don't hear crude and rude things from the people at that desk. And I think it comes from you, and it comes a lot from who you are and your character. How have you been able to, JB, how you've been able to influence those? They know who you are. They know exactly who you are. How have you been able to do that Sunday after Sunday?
Pastor Ken, I pray and hope that it has been modeling Christ-like behavior, Christ principles, and all that I do. One thing, and Tony can speak to it better than me, having managed football teams for so long, players are really sharp. They're insightful. They will pick up on leadership and what means something to them. And while I did not have the authority to hire and fire, it might even be better that, because I'm trying to model Christ-like behavior and they see that consistently, that it's not an act that I'm put on, especially if there are stressful situations and they see that I'm acting Christ-like. Look, I can get upset and be anxious or stressful, but the point is to conduct myself. I try to refer back to biblical principles always, where it says, you know, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Those are real world principles. Being blessed to have an association with people like Tony Dungy, who have what I desire in terms of being impactful in the game of life. You know, and it seems like over the years, there are more and more people that get added to the studio set. So while my big boss might say, "James, you got a lot to say. I love your wisdom. Can you speak more?" Well, wait a minute. I've got a lot of mouths to feed, and I want to keep them happy. So my job is to be as informed as possible, which often means calling Tony Dungy to get a little insight about a coming game or
here
player.
We go.
I can ask an intelligent question. Let's be clear here. But I try to elicit from them that which is uniquely theirs. And if they are happy and excited, then I'm happy and excited. I look at Ephesians 4:16. Tony knows it's one of my favorites. You know, every joint supplies. So I try to understand what the gifts and talents of my guys are, play to that, even if it means sacrificing some of my time to elevate them and let them get that last nugget in there. If they're happy, we're happy. Does that make sense? Hey, but I know you're leading this charge here, but Tony Dungy, I really want to be big on this profane bit, because the rumor, the absolute reputation, not a rumor that Tony has, is he doesn't engage in profanity. Do you know that there have been those in our profession who've been going around for the last 15 years talking to every player that Tony has ever coached, an assistant coach that he oversaw? Please give me an example of when Tony has used profanity. They've yet to come up with an example,
wow.
Pastor Ken.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to tell a little story about JB too, Pastor. You mentioned those three Emmys, and I'm relatively new to the TV business, but in TV, you get recognized normally by drawing attention to yourself.
Wow.
And how much airtime can I have? What can I say? You know, when is my segment on? It should be at the most prime time moment. JB has won three Emmys by being just the opposite, by making his teammates look better. And it's been recognized, and it is so rare, but he has done it that way, as he mentioned, biblical way to do it, make others look good. And people see that and say, gosh, this man has something special.
Amen. You know, I hope pastors are listening to this, and I hope one of the takeaways for you thus far is simply this. Jesus himself said, if you're going to be seen as greatest among all, you have to be and you must be the servant of all. And I think what you're hearing is two gentlemen who understood success by not what somebody gave them, but what they gave back, and someone placed them in that leadership responsibility of saying, hey, you're great. They were servants. And pastors, that's who we are as well. Hey, you two guys are noted for a couple things. Number one, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the podcast is because of your character. You have, both of you, character's different than reputation. Reputation's what people know about you. Character's what the angels say to God about you. They know you. And the tongue in your mouth and the tongue in your shoe, they go the same direction. You guys walk your walk. You talk your talk. That's obvious. We've seen that. We've seen negative press come at both of you at times for your stand for Jesus Christ, but you've been unwavering in it, and you've trusted God. It's a risk every time, whether they'll keep you for that, because Jesus told us the world is going to hate us, and that is so true. We're not to be martyrs, but that's just the reality of life. So here's my question for both of you. Both of you have high-profile jobs, and you're in high-profile positions, which means your kids, which means your wife, which means your families are also right along. You got called. They got drafted. I mean, they go with that last name with you. How have you been able to maintain the integrity at home and let them see who you are? Because every pastor here has the same thing, by the way. Our kids live in a fishbowl. They say, you know, preachers have the meanest kids. Well, I say that's because they hang around with deacons' kids. But now that's a whole nother issue. But for your families, for your kids, how have you been able to maintain keeping them out of the press, keeping them away from some of the negativity, and at the same time teach them lessons along the way? Either one of you can start.
I will start, and like JB, I think my ability to do that goes back to my parents. They were in the same boat. We lived in a very, very small town. They were both school teachers. Everybody in town had my mom or my dad as a teacher. So everybody knew me by association, and therefore, hey, you're Mrs. Dungy's son. You're Mr. Dungy's son. And they never wanted that to be a negative. So they carried themselves with the highest integrity. And my mother, her favorite verse in the Bible, which she just passed on and hammered into us, was Matthew 16:26. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world if you forfeit your soul? And I just heard this over and over and over again. It doesn't matter what you achieve in this world. If you aren't living for the Lord and your soul is not right, all of that is going to pass away. So that, for the 28 years I was coaching in the National Football League, that was in the back of my mind. Whatever I do, whatever accolades, whatever Super Bowls we win, it doesn't matter if I'm not doing things right for the Lord. So I've got to have that first. And my kids, I want them to have the same benefit that I had when people say, you're Mr. Dungy's son, you're Mr. Dungy's daughter, that they say it in a way that's, oh, that's awesome, that's great. Not, oh, you're his, mm-hmm. you must have a terrible life, you know. I never wanted that.
Amen. JB?
Wow. Part of it for me in terms of staying grounded is having an awesome brother in Christ like Tony Dungy. We talk about a lot, and I already understand and know where he's coming from, that he's going to operate from the biblical principles. When I was in corporate America working for two Fortune 50 companies, we hear a lot of worldly wisdom that has certainly led to business success. But as I became born again, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, the principles of success, the ground rules had to be biblical principles. I know I get that with Tony whenever we walk through things. And to be clear, while we're not looking to pick a fight, we're not going to run away from a fight either. Mm. And that there have been those out there who have absolutely tried to sully our reputations and tell just untruths. And we went through that and have been, probably still. But that was a litmus test for, I know it was, for Tony, but he's been there before. It was a litmus test for me, Pastor Ken. And in the quiet of my room, knowing what God's word says, the question that I heard myself asking myself, excuse the vernacular, what you gonna do now, bruh? Okay? And Amen. It was to stand on his word, because I knew, just as Tony used biblical examples and stories from the Bible to motivate his team, I looked at those examples as well. And all I know is one thing, Numbers 23 and 19, and I think it's in Titus 1 and 2, maybe Micah 5 and 2, God can't lie. God is not a man that he can lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, and will it not come to be? Has he not spoken it, and will it not Amen. Manifest? God is simply incapable of lying. So Pastor Ken, as Tony knows, I was so thankful to stand on his word to see what would happen. And without getting into the details, that truth that I stood on has paid dividends, but it also is preparatory for the kind of things that still come down the road. Matthew 24 and 24, where God, Jesus said it. And I know there are many practical applications of God's word, but Matthew 24 and 24, though it's in the context of counting up the cost of following Christ, he said, because to be careful, because even the elect could be fooled, can be fooled if it were to be so. So, and believe me, I am not the Apostle Paul that Tony is. So I just want to make sure I continue to walk in his word. I hope that made sense.
No. It's just so refreshing to hear CBS analyst, anchor desk guy quote God's word to pastors. And pastors Amen. Identify that and love that. So we have a CBS and we have an NBC, and both of you are different than the culture in which you have to, where you make your living. If you had one thing you could ask pastors to pray for both of you about in the work that you do, because it's a world that you understand better than we understand. Pastoring, we understand a world maybe you don't understand. But I think what you're talking about today is integrity, and you're talking about it at every level. You're talking about it at home. You're talking about it at work. Because it's not something you do, it's who you are. In the culture in which we live, Tony, it caught a lot of flack recently with the LGBTQ controversy and some things that they wanted you to try to embrace and you just would not embrace. JB, you have the same kind of temptations. Walk us, just give us a little snapshot as a pastor, how we could pray for you, but what is it like every day for you in that world?
I think the biggest thing is you have to ask yourself, and probably everybody in the world has to ask themselves, what am I going to do today as I walk through this life? Am I going to live for Jesus and try to point people to Christ, or am I going to try to immerse myself in the world around me? And people used to tell me that for years. Boy, it must be tough in a locker room setting. I tell you, it was much easier in the locker room to be a Christian than it is sometimes in the TV world and in the world where everybody's looking at you and waiting for one thing that they don't embrace. And I just keep reminding myself, be like Jesus, do what he asks us to do, point people to him, and try to make disciples.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever that takes, that's our job. That's why we're here.
Beautiful. JB?
Well, I guess a couple of things come to mind, and I'm just trying to think. Even in the face of difficulty, first of all, not to be surprised, because we should expect challenges to come, which is what the word says. But I remember hearing someone comment that God can work. God does work. Mm. And it's important for us to seize those opportunities that opposition actually brings. I learned that through this, so that we can present or model the good news about Christ. How we handled that difficulty, there were more people than I'm sure I am aware of who were watching to see how you were going to handle this. And believe me, that there are those who aren't believers who had commented when they read some of those things to say, I wish that the author had come and talked to me about you so that I can say what you have been like in practice before any of these difficulties came of themselves. And even though when I think about opportunities, if you will, I try to think, most often we tend to think about the good things that happen, but even out of the difficulties, I know we often quote John 8:32, but keep in mind that when opportunity comes or presents itself, it's too late at that time to prepare. We need to already be prepared. And for those who may not know, Tony, I don't know for how long, 25, 30 years, has been a part of a coach's Bible study. And also in his church is, I may as well call him Bishop Tony Dungy, is a part of a Bible study there. But Pastor Ken, he also for the past 14 years has just been with an ad hoc group of folks that he and I met through staying at the same hotel in New York. And the lessons that have been taught are instructive for life. But what else would you expect from the Bible, which is the manual, the instruction for how to live life? So if we're prepared by embracing those things and not just listening to them like they are fairy tales, then when the opportunities come, all we have but to do is, if you say, what would Jesus do? What did some of the apostles do as well? Then we're prepared for them. I hope I made some sense.
It did. Yeah. Hey, you know, somebody said that we're always just one step away from stupid. And we have seen tragically how pastors morally have fallen. And it's not just pastors. Sometimes they're celebrities. Sometimes they're coaches. And it's always sad to read it. It's always sad to hear about it. And I think what I hear from both of you guys, and maybe you can speak to that a little bit, I'm going to throw out a name. I want you guys to kind of tell me what he means to you, how he's helped you in your spiritual walk. But I hear you both saying we're both accountable, Pastor Ken. We lead, but we also follow, and we are in Bible studies together. Walk us a little bit through that. But how has a man by the name of Tony Evans impacted both of your spiritual lives?
incredible impact for me. I've listened to a lot of his Bible studies. I've taken notes, written things down, but I've also been able to talk to him and watch him operate over the years. And our Super Bowl year, 2006, we talked every week leading up to the Super Bowl, probably for about 9 weeks as we're getting close. And he'd always call me and say, "Hey, if you win this week, what is the Lord going to do with this?" And it got me thinking in the right direction, not how great is this victory going to be? Hey, we're one step closer. We're winning the championship game. But what do I want the Lord to take from this? And it was awesome. But that focus of, you know, this isn't about worldly things. This is about kingdom principles. Amen. And I think that's what I've taken from it. All this stuff, kingdom man, kingdom family, kingdom children, kingdom coach. Yeah. I want to be a kingdom coach.
Amen. How about it, JB? How did you know Tony Evans very well? How has he impacted your life?
I've gotten to know him through the Apostle Paul, Tony Dungy, again. And we have developed a great relationship. My brother is probably the best testimony that I can give. But let me say, I've also called Tony Evans, Dr. Evans, on a Super Bowl Sunday when I knew that there was a segment that was going to be dealt with that was kind of a controversial topic, and I wanted to have what was essentially a biblical response. I called him. He called me right back and gave me biblical advice that was the best answer. He's always on call. My brother, youngest brother, had gone through 7 or 8 different drug treatment programs. When he was in Dallas at the Salvation Army, the men were brought over to Dr. Evans's church. My brother got to meet Dr. Evans when I spoke at one of his No Excuses Men's Conference. They became friends. Dr. Evans told him the best place to go to lick that addiction, because my brother had already, having gone through 7 or 8 drug treatment programs, had planted his drugs at a place that he was going to go back to when he got out of drug treatment. Wow. Tony Evans sent them to a place that they said, "No, you can't bring any books, no videos, no tapes. The only thing that you can bring in here is the Bible." My brother went through that program, turned his life around after 38 years of being drug addicted. Wound up having a leg amputated, had 5 or 6 different morbidities, but he said he had never felt freer in life. And when he transitioned to go into the presence of the Lord, Dr. Evans, while he couldn't be at the home going service, he video recorded a mini eulogy that he sent. That's the kind of guy that Dr. Evans is, like you, being pulled on by so many people, not only nationally, but globally. But if it means saving a soul or strengthening the soul, he's there.
Amen.
Pastor Whitten, I'd love to just share one thing that I think these pastors might really benefit from, something I learned from Tony Evans. As a young player, he gave a chapel service to us, and he talked, and he said, "Hey, when I'm up here, you expect to hear Christianese, and I'm a pastor, so you get that. But I just need you to know, when I leave here, and I go home, I'll be a Christian husband and Christian father. And then when I walk across the street to talk to my neighbor, I'll be a Christian neighbor. And when I come out to watch you guys play this afternoon, I'll be a Christian fan." Wow. My point is, I'm always going to be a Christian wherever I am. How about you? And I started thinking about that. And I said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian in this chapel service. But when I go out on the field and this guy blocks me in the back and clips me and I turn around, I don't know if I'll be a Christian then." And I thought, I got to be a Christian every single moment, no matter where I am, no matter what I do. So for me, I was a Christian player at that point. And then when I went into coaching, I've got to be a Christian coach. Now I've got to be a Christian broadcaster. Christian has to come first in whatever we do. Amen. I learned that. That was 40 years ago, and it stuck with me.
And to put the period on that, since Tony Dungy and I talked about that extensively, when people talk about what they do, who they are, many times you hear them affix a political label to them first and foremost and seem to be wed more to that. And we say, "No, no, no, no." Or "He's black this," or "He's Asian this." No, no, no. If you introduce me, call me Christian James Brown first. Any other description is after that.
Tony does it very well. He says you don't put it in the adjective, you put it in the noun, and you know how he does that. He gets going. I'll tell you. As only Tony Evans can say it. Hey, as we kind of bring this podcast a little bit to a close, and you guys have been so much fun to talk to, and there's so many roads we could walk down. One of the things as a pastor. They may not have James Brown walking in their church every Sunday. They may not have Tony Dungy walking in their church. But a lot of our pastors, believe it or not, do have people that the world will look at and the world would say they've had success, whether they're a CEO of a company, whether they've had notoriety as an actor or as an actress or an athlete or coach or professional person. Talk to us from your life experience. How do you want to be treated when you come to church and to worship? Because you're not there to sign autographs. You're not there to get pictures. And both of you are so gracious. I've watched you do that when people want to say hi to you. You've never turned anyone aside. But you're there for a reason, too. You're there with your family. Having dinner at night in a restaurant is important for your family. But for a pastor, talk to a pastor here for just as we wrap this up. Pastor, this is how you treat us. This is how we want to be treated when we come to church. What could you say that would real help to a pastor today?
Treat those people like you treat everyone else. Yes, show the love of Christ, but don't go out of your way. Don't treat them like they're special. You know what bothers me, Pastor, more than anything? When I come to a church and people find out you're there, oh, come sit in the front row. We've got a seat for you. That's not what we want at all. That makes me very, very uncomfortable. Just let me sit down in the back. If I come late, let me sit in the back row and I'll get there earlier next week, you know. But don't treat me like somebody special, because that's not why I'm coming. I'm coming to hear from the Lord and honor Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Tony, I would only coattail on that which is stated in the book of James.
Amen.
God is not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
Tony and I, you know, I'm so much more comfortable talking about Tony than I am myself. But what he just said is true. But here's an example. I believe, and it makes no difference if I don't get the right venue, but in Minneapolis, when Tony was there, I believe for his weekend that's called Uncommon Weekend. And of course, the church on the next that day was going to have like 4,000 or 5,000 plus there. So to get Tony there quickly, they take him through the kitchen so that he could come in the back way to get on stage and be on time, which he is always about. And there was a young man in the kitchen. I may not have all the details correctly, but he was asked, what's going on here? What's the deal? Why are so many people inside? Tony delivered, if you will, the elevator pitch of the good news to that young man,
Amen.
Brought him to Christ,
Amen.
Sent me a photo via the phone about a young man who was brought to Christ. Yes, he had some 300 plus cards turned in after presenting the gospel to the gathered at the church. But that one example of that one young man in the kitchen who came to Christ, or one of the parking lot attendants, that's what he is. That's who he is. That's what I relish as well, too, because that's what we are supposed to be about. And my closing word would be that which I've heard my mom say. Tony talks about Miss Cleo Dungy. I'll never get the expression right. I'll have to have him tell it. But my mom would say, never, ever give up on God, period.
What a great closing word. Pastor, I hope today that you've been encouraged for a couple reasons. One, I hope that you can see that you have people in your church right now that you're making a difference in by preaching the word week by week by week. That there are men, just like these two men, that God has blessed for such a time as this, brought them to the kingdom for such a time as this, to make impact in the world in which God has gifted them. And what they've talked about as a leader, they've talked about accountability. Pastors, you got to have accountability. They've talked about humility. You've got to have a humility. They've talked about having a spirit of servanthood and seeing the best and leading others from that same humble spirit. And I hope that that's been encouraging to you. And I hope that when you see these two guys on the television and you hear them, you remember this podcast that, hey, I got to meet those guys and hear the backstory of their very life. Pastors, thanks again for listening to the Equipping Pastors podcast. This is just one of the many resources available to the pastors at nam.net/pastors. Hey, go there, Daryl, for a free download of the Ministry Pastor's Toolbox. And hey, if this podcast and episode has been helpful to you, and I hope it has been, hey, could you do something? Could you give us a rating? Give us a review? Because, listen, your feedback helps other pastors find this podcast. To get notified when this podcast releases, just be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, JB. Love you two guys. We're praying for you. I know you're praying for your pastors. And just know that the Lord loves you, and we do too.
Thank you. Awesome being with you, Pastor Wooden.
Praise God, Pastor Ken.
You've been listening to Equipping Pastors with Ken Wooden, a podcast powered by the North American Mission Board. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to help other pastors find this podcast. To find more resources to engage, equip, and encourage you as a pastor, visit EquippingPastorsPodcast.com.